Blog Talk Radio.
This week, I tried a very simple challenge of trying to be bare feet for a whole week and see what happens. What's supposed to be a very simple and interesting challenge led to an existential crisis, realizing that I was walking completely wrong, reconnecting with nature at a spiritual level, and a conspiracy theory. Let's talk about that. Let's start all the way back from the beginning, at day one. I thought this would be easy because I'm bare feet inside the house anyways, and the sports that I grew up as a kid, I loved being bare feet, such as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and gymnastics. As well as a child, I loved being bare feet out on the outside. Any chance we could play bare feet, we would take that opportunity. Working at a gym was pretty easy for me to be bare feet, just got a lot more questions asked. And finally going around in day one, it actually felt very, very liberating. It reconnected me to my childhood in a way I didn't think that it would. It felt very fun. It felt like I was reconnecting with a past version of myself, and it felt a lot more free to just feel like I'm experiencing the world a different way that most people don't, that I was doing something that other people were not doing. I was walking very awkwardly because the cement was very, very hot, and I was always looking down to make sure I didn't step into something hard or, you know, disgusting. Physically, it felt kind of weird. The bottom of my foot felt a little bit sore, but emotionally, it was pretty good, and I was very excited to just continue on that experience. For day two, after walking outside and enjoying that experience, I still felt pain, but the pain that I didn't think that I was going to experience. My ankles started to feel sore, my knees started to feel sore, and my hips started to feel sore. It made me feel way older than I hope that I look. And if I look that old, then I need to change my skincare routine. Was it me doing something wrong, or was it actually the shoes helped with that impact? That got my brain thinking when I put on my wireless headphones. When there's no music playing and you're walking, I can almost feel the impact go through my body. The impact was loud. Something was off. Was it the shoes? Or was it me? And that led me down a path of...
Delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Every time I think things can't get more crazy and more absolutely ridiculous, they do.
Yeah.
So Biden comes out today and declares a state of emergency for the entire country for the monkeypox.
Yeah, nuts. It's, you know, for one, you can't catch it. You've got to almost try to catch this virus.
Yeah, exactly.
And we won't go into the
struck by lightning. Well, you know, this is just their next. This is just their next scam to scare everybody into their submission.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that's what it is. I have a friend that and I love this guy, and he's gay, and I'm fine with that. Because I love this guy. He's a real sweet guy, you know. And he sent me a text today, and he says that he did a little research on the monkeypox before it became a bigger thing. And he said, he says you don't primarily catch it from buttholes or glory holes, which I thought was actually
right. Kind
of hysterical. And, you know, and it's the truth. People really need to do their research on this before they go sticking a needle in their arm thinking that they're going to die of the monkeypox. Even if you got it.
Right.
I mean, it's like not any worse than getting the chicken pox, right?
Right, right.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely insane. So.
What else? Polio.
Oh, yes, there's polio in the water now. Yep, they're testing our crap in the sewer water, basically, and they're coming up with cases of polio for the first time in ever, and. Now you can get polio through your drinking water.
Yeah. So it's in the drinking water. They're passing through it. You know, I thought we were all immunized against it when we were kids.
Well, I think the whole polio thing, again, was another scam, but that's another topic for another night. But, I mean, honestly, I just cannot. What else is left? They're going to go through all, 72 vaccines on the... And the scale there on the charts and
add more, it'll be up to 102 pretty soon.
Right, they'll add more, and then we'll all have to be jabbed against everything, and we'll have to be jabbed against our own immunity pretty soon.
Right,
and our bodies will be attacking themselves. It's just absolutely crazy. So to switch gears on that, because I mean, there's already people that I've heard of in New York City that are hunkering down. They're going to be hunkering down, and I think it was already last week that the mayor of New York City passed a state of emergency, and now they're distributing. New York State then went on, you know, not even a day later to do that. Now they're distributing funds to each county to do as they like to take care of the monkeypox. Well, isn't that interesting? Back when they did that with COVID, and they were out in Erie County eating pizza and wings and ordering shrimp with the funds that they were given.
Yeah, so and now a bunch of counties have to pay that money back since it wasn't used the way it was supposed to have been used. So we'll see. We'll see what ultimately happens with this. But again, you know, you got to remember there's an election coming up. You know, the roads are going to get paved. There's going to be checks in the mail to everybody. You know, they're buying votes.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, for 4 years, you know, for three out of the 4 years, the roads don't get paved. It's all potholes. And then right before the election... There's all the paving crews are working overtime.
Yeah. Yep. Before we switch gears onto that new gun control bill, there was something that I heard today, which is actually really terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. They're saying that they're planning to incorporate coronavirus antigens into MMR shots for kids. Now, the MMR shots is something that, you know, parents that don't know any better, give their kids so that they can attend school. And they're planning on putting that in to the MMR shots. I mean, the MMR shots, I mean, they've already been associated with a whole bunch of neurological diseases, including autism. And if you don't believe me, you need to do your research too. And then they're going to combine that with the COVID shot. I mean, you are talking about something really seriously and potentially lethal.
Yeah, and remember, it's a shot. It's not a vaccine. It hasn't been through all the clinical trials. And, you know, normally for a vaccine, it takes 10, 15, 20 years for it to be from experimental to a vaccine. This thing, was, 2 years, and all of a sudden we've got a vaccine that's killing all sorts of people.
I see our guest just signed in, but we're still going to just do a little bit of updating. But, yeah, and speaking of vaccines, very, very interesting Rumble video that I listened to this week. And it was put out by Dr. Ruby and Dr. Welbergen. And I'm telling you, if you can find this video, it's called Vaccine Shedding Proof on Rumble. And they are talking about how the unvaccinated are having the same, some of the same adverse effects that people are, that have had the jab are getting. And we're talking about heart problems, gastrointestinal problems, and how this shedding is pretty much, when you're around these people, vaccinating you. And you don't even want to be vaccinated.
Right. Yeah. So what's happening is the dangerous stuff that's in the vaccine is coming out of these vaccinated people and into everybody around them.
Well, yeah, it's called the spike protein.
Yeah, and that's what shedding is all about.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm telling you, that is some scary stuff. This video was absolutely worth it. In fact, if I could, I don't know if they'll let me put it on the Facebook page. They may very well take it down. But maybe I could get it up on the website, freedomizerradio.com. But if you go to Rumble and pull up vaccine shedding proof, I'm sure that it will come up. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely terrifying. Because you're exposing yourself to something that you're absolutely against, and you're getting it anyway. And I know people, and I'm talking for myself because, you know, I'm a Lyme disease person, and I've been dealing with that for 25 years, and I've had more flare-ups the last year of a lot of my ailments, and I'm telling you, it's not coincidental. It's definitely not coincidental. And I know people that have been around jabbed people that have had problems with their menstrual cycles, that have gastrointestinal problems. So there's something really definitely to it. And, you know, they used it as a bioweapon to begin with. So now they're indirectly using it as a bioweapon, right? So if they can't reduce the population by sending coronavirus back into the nursing homes, they're going to do it by, you know, vaccinating you and then shedding the spike protein all over you. All right, enough said. We'll get off our soapbox about that. But, again, you got to do your research. You know, people are not doing their research, and they're just listening to their government. They're listening to their doctors who are paid off by Big Pharma, and that's it. You know, you can't listen to your government unless, of course, you get somebody in like our guest that's going to be on tonight that,
right,
you know, is, knows the truth and, you know, knows what's going on down in Washington, and we're going to definitely be talking to him in a couple of minutes.
I don't think he knows. He hasn't gotten there yet.
No, he knows. I'm sure they know. Yeah, I'm sure they have an idea. Otherwise, he wouldn't be fighting for it.
Right.
So the House passed a assault weapons ban, right, along party lines this week, which they're hopefully is going to be dead in Senate, but
pretty much party lines. There were a couple of Republicans, both of them from New York, that you know, voted for it.
Yep.
So they broke party lines, and they only won by 4 votes in the House. You know, 5 Democrats actually voted against it, along with the Republicans. So, and one of the Republicans, Chris Jacobs, I'll go ahead and say his name because I'm highly disappointed in him. He represents...
He's done quite a bit the last couple years of nothing.
Yeah, he represents probably the most conservative or the second most conservative congressional district in New York State.
Yeah.
And, you know, he dropped out of the race for re-election because he came out and said that he would support an assault weapons ban. And he knew that his constituents, that there was no way they'd reelect him. So, you know, what happens with these guys? They get elected, and all of a sudden they forget that they're supposed to be representing the people that elected them to, you know, and sent them to Washington. Mm-hmm. And they start doing whatever the hell they want. And, you know, it's time for a new set of people to get out there, and our guest is one of them.
Yep, I agree. So what other updating do we have to do? What else is going on in New York this week? It's just so much, stupidity. It's just making my hair fall out, I swear.
Well, you know, with the new, you know, talking about weapons bans and stuff, you know, the Supreme Court a couple weeks ago said that we shall be a shall issue instead of a may issue state for pistol permits.
Mm.
Struck that down, said we had to be a shall issue. In other words, it was the proof on the government to prove why we shouldn't deserve to have our Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
So in retaliation for that, they passed, you know, some of the absolutely the toughest set of gun control laws in the country.
Tough.
That are totally unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to have to fight them in court. and make sure they're unconstitutional.
Yeah,
basically,
I
what they did was what they did was make the whole state a gun-free zone, and the only place that you can carry besides your house or your car is some place that has a sign that says, you know, concealed carry allowed here.
Right. No semi-automatic gun sales to people under 21. They banned body armor, trying to require micro-stamping for semi-automatic guns, and then strengthening the red flag law.
Spare me.
While there's hundreds of people, well, I don't want to say hundreds, but there's certainly probably close to that, being killed on the subway systems, and a kid that got shot at McDonald's because he served French fries that were too cold. So gun control is really working, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a fantastic job.
And then the red flag law, you know, that means I'm mad at my neighbor for, you know, him throwing or having his, because he walked his dog in my yard and didn't pick up the mess. So I call up and say, hey, the guy next door is crazy. You shouldn't have a gun. And the police come and swat out and take all his guns.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, the red flag law, yeah, it's not bad, but it can be abused. And they've got to be able to, you know, make it a little more granular than just you call up and blow someone in for any old reason.
Right. Well, it's just, I don't know. My brain burns after this.
Yeah, right.
It really literally burns. You know, because people are just, and there's so many people walking around in masks again. I'm going.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
The whole mask thing was debunked the first time. How is it going to be debunked for the monkeypox if it's a skin?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. So anyway, I think it's about time to bring on our guest. What do you think? Because there's lots of questions.
Yep, I think it's time.
Some things that were emailed in, some things that were brought up on Facebook. And so...
Steve Sams?
Yes, Steve Sams. We had a chance to walk in a parade with this gentleman. It was the first time I met him, and what a fantastic guy. If there's anybody I could not imagine better to be in Congress, especially to beat Brian Higgins, who's been in forever.
Yes,
so
since 2005.
And has only cared about the waterfront downtown. Still hasn't done anything. I couldn't think of a better person.
Yep.
You know, and we want to support him, and we want people to support him. He's running for the 26th congressional district in New York State, and we're going to bring him on. He's going to talk.
There we go. Okay, Steve, are you there?
I am. How are you guys this evening?
Steve, it's so good to have you on our radio show. So you are live, nationwide, and uncensored.
Yep, obviously uncensored.
I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running. And, you know, we've got, what, about 12 minutes, I think, until 11 minutes until we got to take a commercial break. So I'm sure you can go on about yourself that long.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then after we'll probably plan on getting into questions and answers. But why did you decide to run for Congress?
Well, you know, I've always been... My family and I have always been patriots that cared about our nation. You know, I come from a long line of military. I'm third generation to serve in the Army. Both my grandfathers, my father, his two brothers, all served. I have multiple cousins that have served. Some are still serving. And that's what our family does. You know, the women in my family have been predominantly nurses. You know, they take care of people at home while we take care of people abroad. So it kind of runs in my blood of wanting to serve. As far as Congress, you know, I never really had a thought or a desire to run for political office. You know, but when I was deployed down range in Afghanistan, I started getting more involved and I started paying more attention to things. Because basically, you know, the decisions that were being made in Washington affected my life on a daily basis. And I saw what good decisions do and what bad decisions do. And, I sat there and I saw when I left the military, I came home. I got involved locally, joined my local committee, you know, started doing some, you know, grassroots local stuff. Well, there's only so much of that you can do. Trust me, that's a very, very much needed position, you know, being a committee member. But if you really want to make a change, you gotta be a little bit more involved. So I started getting involved with the county, and I was working my way up, and you know, I put in some time, and then the Afghanistan withdrawal came. And that complete debacle kind of like threw me into politics, because I lost 5 good friends on my last deployment in Afghanistan. And to watch what happened and how things transpired and the way we pulled out, it just put everything that they stood for and everything that I stood for, and they put it to shame. And then I watched, you know, I was like, let me see if, you know, my congressman says something, and my congressman said nothing. Didn't put out a press release, didn't say anything about it. And it just, you know, it was kind of forgotten about. But if it's something for his political party, then he'll come out and say, you know, full-throated response to it. But if it's his party that does something wrong that affects other people, he won't say anything about it. So that's when I figured out that the guy I'm running against is a career party politician and that he needed to go. And that's when I decided to throw my hat in the ring.
That's great, Steve. That's really good. And you know, it's a big ring to put your hat into.
Yeah, no kidding. But he was talking about but there was something you said when you were just talking that made me think of an email that I got from Brian Higgins, how you said that your congressman didn't listen to you. There was one time when I was first getting involved in all this stuff about 5 years ago that I had sent him an email, and he sent back a reply with no body to the letter. So I had my name and his signature with no body to the letter. I held on to it, and I happened to run into him. And I was like, did you know your office sent me this, and there was no body to the letter? So that really made me see how much that they really are not paying attention. You know, I felt like we're just a bunch of numbers, right? So they're just shooting off emails to a bunch of numbers in the air that, you know, a bulk email type of thing. So I thought that was kind of funny when you said that your congressman wasn't listening to you, because it made me think of that. Yeah.
And, you know, to me, I think the most important thing for an elected official is to represent his constituents. I mean, that is absolutely the most important thing. And, you know, just worry about yourself and your reelection and, you know, fundraisers to have to raise money and stuff, because unfortunately our system has been so perverted that whoever's got the most money wins, and that's a shame. You know, we definitely need campaign finance reform, you know, above and beyond what they've already done.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. They put a bill together that said that the elections would be paid for on a federal level. I don't agree with, you know, you shouldn't be taking anybody's tax dollars and giving it to somebody to run for political office. That's just,
right,
you know, exacerbating the problem of elitism. And that's not something I can stand for or something I can support. You know, Brian Higgins, he's got 1.5 million. You know, I've got 1,500. But you know what? I'm still going to fight no matter what. You know, I can do more with 1,500 than he can do with 1.5 million, because I actually get out there and I talk to the people and I listen to the people. And I've talked to more than a couple people that have had the same kind of thing. They've written a letter to Brian Higgins. They haven't gotten a response with any kind of substance to it whatsoever. You know, not even really addressing the issues. But it's those are things that I'm hoping to put an end to. You know, if somebody reaches out to you as their representative, you got to put in the time to try and address their issues the best way you know how. And doing a little, you know, half-worded, half-hearted letter, it really doesn't do justice to the people that are seeking some help.
Yep. It seems like the only thing that he's worried about is, you know, the Brian Higgins waterfront.
Right.
And, you know,
Brian Higgins is the best. He's definitely the best city planner we've ever had. But the only problem is he's not a city planner. He's a United States congressman.
Yeah, he's a professional politician.
Right. Yeah. And we're gonna definitely get into more of the question and answer thing when we come back from commercial. You know, and how what they're doing down in Washington affects us. You know, and how are you going to stand up for the people? You know, that want things to change. So we won't make it a Brian Higgins bashing session. We could do that all day long, right?
Yeah, but, right.
We really want to hear, you know, the issues, what you stand for, and in your stance on, you know, a whole list load of stuff here. So, ready for our first commercial?
Yep.
Okay. So you just have to hang on the line there. We're going to go to our first commercial because we have to pay for our sponsors. And we will be back in 4 minutes. D&D, delivering the truth to New York State and beyond. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
Couple quick things before we go. You know, there's some speculation as to whether President Biden is going to run in 2024. Mm-hmm. There's some reports that he's a little frustrated that people keep asking because he keeps on saying yes. And people go, are you sure? I know somebody who's going to turn 35 about a month before the election in 2024. And they represent New York's 14th. Is that job appealing to you at all?
I think that...
Theoretically.
Listen, I think that we need to focus on keeping a democracy mm-hmm. for anybody to be president in the next couple of years. And that's my central focus, is helping the people of this country. Right
so it's possible. So it's possible.
I don't know about all that. Well, I don't know about
I'm
that.
I'm just here to get you in trouble.
Exactly. You're
that's
getting me in trouble.
To get you in
I
trouble.
Don't know about
okay, before we go, first of all, best wishes. I understand that you just got engaged.
I
That's
did.
Why it's wonderful news.
Fair Faces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
You realize there's something really wrong with our world. Things are not adding up. Well, you came to the right place. Tune in to the Right View radio show on Freedomizer Radio every Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with your host, Jumana, where we connect the dots, uncover the truth, and expose those who are trying to usher in the new world order.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then. Okay, we're back.
Hey, everyone. So, Steve, you still there?
I am.
Okay, good, good.
So, now it's confession time.
Yeah, so let's ask a couple questions. What do you think about term limits?
Oh, I'm 100% in favor of term limits. You know, that's part of the problem that we've run into now is too many career politicians that have been there forever. You know, when you've got people that have been in the Senate and, you know, their staff's going, well, it's better to have a senile person here than a young, you know, junior person that doesn't know anything. That's when you got a serious problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are in their 80s. I think there's one that's, what, even like 89?
Something like
even
that, 89
yeah. years old. Exactly.
You should not be dying from old age in the United States Congress. That is not something that should happen. You should be, you know, at home when that happens, not sitting there making federal laws.
Right.
Drinking coffee.
You know, to go a little farther in that, you know, I took a pledge, a term limits pledge that's actually been posted online. You can quote me on this right now. I won't run more than 5 terms. You know, 10 years is all I will run. I don't care if I'm getting 90% of the electoral vote and everyone loves me or not. You know, 10 years is enough to get some stuff done and influence some people to lead the next generation.
Yeah. Well, the way things are right now, 10 years would be enough to affect your health greatly.
Yeah.
We're just joking.
You know, and the thing is, you know, these guys always run for re-election saying, I'm not done. Well, how much time do you need to get done? You know, and you put a time limit on that, 10 years, 5 terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not, and I don't know what it is for the Senate, but I know for Congress, for the House of Representatives, 3 terms and you've got lifetime salary and health benefits.
Mm.
You know, maybe that should go away too.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of things, especially with term limits and you know, the benefits that are awarded to our representatives that need to be done away with. You know, the people that are fighting for our nation shouldn't get less treatment than the people that are making the laws and sending them to war.
Yeah, 100%. You were talking about, I just wanted to interject something a little bit off our question topic, but with the Army, I don't know if I told you this when we met, but my dad was a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army, and my grandfather, he served in Korea in World War II. He's buried at Arlington. He has a Purple Heart. He was a major in the Army. Great family, mannered family. You know, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and, you know, the times were so different then, but what a good time down there, and so much history in my family with that. So I just thought I'd let you know that.
No, it's definitely nice to know that, you know, there's some other families out there that have a long lineage of service as well. You know, it just makes you remember that America is one of the greatest, you know, nations on the earth.
Right. And
there's a lot of people out there that love our country.
Mm-hmm. And they fought for it. And, you know, this generation now, I feel like they just don't appreciate it enough.
Yeah, this generation's working some things out. You know, there's some good kids out there. There's some kids that are confused out there, you know, but it all comes down to how people are influenced. You know, when you influence people about the same things that, you know, people like to stay in their echo chambers, and then they take that echo chamber and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then they influence other people, then it gets worse and worse and worse. Like, part of the problem that what made America so great is we would come together and we would debate things and we would talk about things and we would have differing opinions. And that's lost nowadays. Nobody comes together. Nobody debates. Nobody discusses. There's no compromise. There's just one side or the other. And It's just a constant battle between one political entity or the other. You know, I'll sit down at a table with anybody and talk about anything, because you may have your thoughts about things, but it doesn't mean that you can't learn something or get a different perspective on something else from other people.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I don't care how old you are. And I liked what you said about that, about the who your influences are. And I feel like so much of this starts at home. You know, like it should be the parents' responsibility to be teaching history. It should be the parents' responsibility. Like with my daughter, we were doing a class the other day. I homeschool on the Constitution. You know, and these are things that they don't teach in school anymore. So if it doesn't start with the parents that know better, where is it going to start? You know, because we can't rely on our school system to teach it anymore.
You know, I sat down the other day with a bunch of teachers, you know, predominantly all Democrats. If there was one conservative amongst the group. But we had, you know, we had a back-and-forth conversation on a lot of different subjects. Some people are stuck on one thing. Some people wanted to talk about something else. But by the end of the conversation, we found some mutual ground. You know, it started out, it was a little tough to start, you know, because, you know, when you go into a conversation, a lot of times people have misconceptions of someone. So you have to go in with kid gloves. You know, don't go in and, you believe this? And you can't do that. So at the end of it, the teachers and I, we all came to the understanding that our current education system is not serving the students very well at all. They've taken critical things out. They've put in other things in that, you know, are all fine and dandy in some circles, but it's not really meant for a grade school education.
Okay,
you know, if you want to teach kids social things, fine. You can make it an elective in high school, or you could make it, you know, core curriculum in college. You know, but as far as K through 12, don't teach my kids sexuality. They don't need to know that. I don't want them to know that. I want you to teach them how to read, how to write, you know, proper English, proper grammar. You know, those are the things that people send their kids to school, you know.
Right. I 100% agree with that. There's no way that a third grader should be teaching and learning about anal sex. You know, and that's literally in one of the bills in New York State. It's in legislation. I mean, that is just wrong on so many levels. You know, and those were kinds of when we were kids. I mean, I'm 50 years old. We never had to worry about that. I didn't have that education. I didn't have that health class, I should say, until I was a junior in high school. So we're getting off topic here. We could go on forever about that. Anything else you want to add on that subject?
No, you know, this is, you know, why it's important to elect good people based on qualifications and not because of gender or social status or where they fall on the oppression score. You know, you need to elect people because they're qualified to do the job. You know,
absolutely.
That's part of what got me in. You know, I'm not just, you know, some guy that decided to run for Congress. You know, I've got over a decade of, you know, government experience. You know, I've been in the government. I know how things work. I know how to get things done. I know how to, you know, compromise with people. And that's why I stepped forward.
Yeah, and, it's that whole adage that you have to walk the walk to talk the talk, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm looking at your brochure here, and just to touch base again on the schools, you're going to introduce legislation for a school choice voucher program. Explain that a little bit.
You know, school choice voucher program, that is, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, that could be a very inflammatory subject. But basically what I want to do is I want to give the people the option. Like, if you want to send your kid to a private school, then you should be able to use your tax dollars for that purpose. You know, if most people want their kids to go to private school, you know, more people want public school. It should be up to people. You know, I shouldn't say you're going to get taxed for this school because you live in the district and your kid has to go here. You know, that shouldn't be. You know, you should have the ability to send your kids to what school you feel. And if that's a, you know, a religious school, or if that's a private, you know, technology school, or even if that's public school, if that's your choice. But your tax dollars should follow your student, and your student should be able to go where you want them to go.
So what about kinda, the people that don't have kids or the people that are, you know, in their 60s and 70s and are homeowners and still pay taxes? What about them? What are they going to do?
You know, if you're a retiree working, living on a fixed income, you probably, and you don't have any kids at home, you probably shouldn't be paying school tax. But if you're still part of the working community, you know, it's, you know, I'll pay school taxes up till I'm 65. I got no problem for it. But when I turn 65 and I'm not making extra money and I'm living on a fixed income, I don't have kids. You know, why am I still paying school taxes? You know, that's just, it never sat well with me. People that don't have kids paying school taxes, that are living on a fixed income.
Yeah, because the taxes are outrageous in New York State. I think that people that, like, for example, back in 2019 when they got, and I'm sure you know about this, they got rid of our religious exemption for kids to attend school, K through 12, and my daughter was one of them. So we still paid school taxes, and I was homeschooling. And they wouldn't allow me any utilization of the school at all.
But see, that's part of what that voucher program would do for you. If you're homeschooling your child, instead of paying school taxes, that money comes back to you, so you can better educate your child. You know, school supplies, maybe get a desk set up, a little classroom at home. You know, things to help you educate your child with your tax dollars.
Yep, and they don't give you a dime. And there are some states that actually do that. Utah is one of them. They give you about $1,800 to homeschool your child, you know, so that you could do things with them, go on field trips, buy materials. But here, you know, 26,000 families back in 2019, they were forced. They were forced to either vaccinate their kid, which was against their will, or homeschool or move. You know, and a third of the people moved out of New York State. And that was in 2019. Now we know the population that New York State has lost since COVID started.
You know, in my opinion, they should at least let you attend class remotely, because if you're unvaccinated, you know, what, are the cooties going to travel through the electric wires and end up infecting the kids that are alive in the classroom?
Well, apparently so, because I tried actually doing that with Orchard Park. And they wouldn't allow my daughter to have access to online learning either because she wasn't vaccinated. So these are the kinds of issues that I myself as a parent, and I know there's a ton of other parents out there, they want addressed.
Absolutely. You know, all parents, you know, feel the same way. Leave my kid alone. I'll take care of teaching them the social stuff. You take care of teaching them writing, reading, and arithmetic. And that's, you know, if they're not doing the job that you want done, you shouldn't have to pay for services that you don't agree with. And that's another thing that, you know, going back to the teachers, when I was talking with them, one of their big issues was, you know, going with the taxes. Look at a lot of these schools around here nowadays. These kids are playing on AstroTurf fields. I mean, AstroTurf fields aren't cheap. When I was in high school, I played on grass, and there was nothing wrong with it, you know. You slip, you fall in the mud, you know, it's character building. You know, we didn't need fancy AstroTurf. And I think that's expenditures that school districts are making to whatever reason, I have no idea. But it's not something that's benefiting the education of the children.
You're absolutely right. You know, if you want to know about AstroTurf, what you should do is do some research. City of Pittsburgh Schools, they were planning on having all of their schools, and this is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, being AstroTurf, at about, you know, $10 million per field. It's not cheap. And then they did a bunch of studies, and they realized that the injuries on turf versus natural was about tenfold. And AstroTurf does have a lifespan, and that's about 10 years. So 10 years... You know, so it's about $1 million a year, and they say, oh, there's less maintenance than a grass field. Well, you know, it's kind of cool watching people play in the mud. But I can't imagine maintaining a grass field costing $1 million a year. So then what they have to do is they don't just replace the turf, the carpet part of it. They've got to replace the substrate as well. So it's a whole nother $10 million plus inflation over 10 years. It's very, very expensive. Like you said, Steve, it doesn't, you know, make the kids any smarter or anything.
So I'll tell you, you know, $10 million for an AstroTurf field, that can build one heck of a technology lab.
Right.
Yep.
Or a gym.
Or get every single kid a computer and keep on giving them new computers every couple of years.
Yeah, honestly. So I noticed that Brian Higgins, he hasn't really done anything for the schools, has he? I don't see any funding that he's given towards the school systems. I don't even know if I've ever heard him mention it.
You know, it's Brian's legislative priorities and mine are a little bit different. That could be the influence of his circle. I know for me, I don't have a lot of political insiders or special interests that are guiding my decisions. This is literally just me driving around my district going, hey, we could probably use this here. One of the things that I want to do is, you know, build a community center in Niagara Falls so, you know, the kids have some place to go. Because Niagara Falls has been forgotten about completely. You know, and look at the city of Buffalo. You know, we just had one of the most terrible tragedies that could ever take place in our city. And listening to what was being said of why this guy targeted our city is because that area was so neglected and run down, and that was the only thing in that area for him that he knew that's the only place where people would go. So it's these policies of focus in one area, not the other. That's what's causing it. Literally cost lives this time. And this, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, I think we should spend a couple dollars here to make this look nice. It's literally, you know, you're messing with people's lives when you don't give people anything to better their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And you mentioned Niagara Falls. I had a friend of mine, and he just sold his house there for several reasons. But he was literally sleeping, and somebody entered through his side door and robbed his house while he was asleep in his house in Niagara Falls. So Niagara Falls definitely needs some help, and I think that's great because, you know, these kids need better guidance in these inner cities, for sure.
You know, the ideas that I have for this community center are not just, you know, a gym and some, you know, TVs for Xbox. The ideas that I have are a computer lab, some tutoring services, you know, a place where they can get, you know, something to eat, you know, a place where they can socialize with their friends and not have to worry about the outside world, where they can unwind and actually let kids be kids and not have to deal with the stresses and struggles of the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me see. Going through your brochure, here's another one. Ban members of Congress and their families from trading stocks while in office. Now, you know, from the information that I've read, when Obama, you know, all these guys knew that Obamacare was going to pass, and so they went ahead and made the proper investments, and all these congressmen became millionaires overnight with the stroke of a pen. And I believe their families are not allowed. They are allowed to do insider trading, but their families are not, and that's what got Chris Collins in trouble. He you know, ran his mouth to his family.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, maybe as a broad stroke, it should be the members of Congress should have to live by the same laws that the citizens have to live by.
Absolutely. You know, it's people are going to talk when you're an elected member of Congress. You know, you talk to your family, you talk to your spouse, but it's, you can tell that there's a lot of, there's insider trading going on, you know, whether or not they're going to run down the proof or not, that's a different conversation for a different day. But there, in my opinion, there is no way that Paul Pelosi is as good at trading stocks as he is without having some kind of knowledge about something. So that's where it comes into the member of Congress and their family.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what I understand, he's pretty good at getting DUIs, though.
It invested in the liquor companies like the Kennedys.
Mm. Tap for another radio show.
Here, the next one here is you're going to bring some pork home for your constituents. Secure funding for complete overhaul of Bailey Avenue. What do you want to do to Bailey Avenue?
No, Bailey Avenue is a mess. You know,
oh my God.
I I have, you know, experience driving down Bailey on a regular basis. And I've, you know, a lot of people don't know this about me. I have a regular blue-collar job, a regular 9-to-5 right now. You know, when I retired from the military, I came home, I started a business, and, you know, I did well. You know, I went to college, got my degree, but I'm retired. You know, I have my pension, but I, you know, you can only be retired for so long before you get bored and need to do something. So I got a job, and I got a job working for AutoZone, and I love my job. I get to help people on a daily basis. Well, something that brought attention to me about Bailey is I had a customer come in, and he came and asked me for something to help fix it, you know, fix a flat tire. So I was like, all right, what do you need? He's like, I got my tires a little flat, and, you know, can I borrow an air compressor? You know, because we have a jump pack that has an air compressor. So I was like, yeah, you know, you want to buy some fix-a-flat? Here's the air compressor. I was like, well, hold on, what's going on with your tire? He's like, I got a dent in it. I'm like, a dent? So I went out and looked. You know, he's got his spare tire, his little dummy tire on his car, and the lip is bent at like a 45-degree angle up off the tire because he hit a pothole on Bailey Avenue. But the reason that he had his spare tire on was because he hit a curb with his regular tire, and the curb was so jagged it tore a hole in his sidewall. So I was like, there's nothing that's going to fix that, you know. You can put air in it, but it's just going to come right out. So he took his jack and decided to beat the steel wheel down and try and bend the rim back. He's a tough guy. He got it, you know, a little bit. So he aired it up. It held air, no problem. But when he went to drive, as soon as it hit that dent, you would hear the air come out. So I was like, you know what? I got you. So I grabbed the wheel out of his car, and I took it right down the road to a Dunn Tire, and I bought him a tire because he was short on cash and trying to get his girlfriend back out to Niagara Falls. So, you know, I've seen the community, and I've seen Bailey, and I've seen what that road does. And it's that road has been neglected. It's been forgotten about. And when I say a complete overhaul, what I mean is from curb to curb to including curbs, new streetlights, new resurfacing, rip the road up, repair the utilities underneath, new sewer and water lines the whole length of Bailey.
Yeah, because back in the day, that was quite the area. You know, it was hopping.
And I guess they have infrastructure money that should be used, especially for the sewer lines and the sewer systems. There was billions of dollars, you know, in federal grants for that stuff. So that part of it, you know, is paid for by our federal tax dollars.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of, you'd like to secure some funding for an overhaul, really, right, of the water and the sewer system here, considering you can get polio now in it. I mean, we would definitely need to revamp that, don't you think?
Absolutely. Our entire city, our entire Western New York area is in desperate need of, you know, a complete upgrade and overhaul of our sewer and water systems. Well, what a lot of people don't know is, you know, my wife lived in Buffalo before we got married. She lived on Hoyt Street. And one of the things that I had to do when we were dating was I had to go clean out her basement because it flooded because of a heavy rain. The reason why it flooded is because Buffalo does not have a stormwater management system. Every bit of water goes into the sewers. And when the sewers get overloaded with water, it backs up into houses. Now, people don't have money to constantly have their basement cleaned and sanitized and have their, you know, equipment replaced, their washer, dryer, their furnace, their hot water tank. You know, people don't have money to keep doing that because, you know, a foot of water went into their basement because there's no stormwater management. That's one of the things that we need to use some of this infrastructure money to do, is to put a stormwater management system in our areas. And it's not just Buffalo, Amherst as well, Tonawanda, same thing.
Yeah, the town I live in, they do have stormwater management. The problem is the real old neighborhoods, all their stormwater goes into the sanitary sewers because there wasn't enough flow when the system was built to, you know, get stuff to the wastewater plant. So they tied them all in together. Now there's a big project to split them all apart because, you know, stormwater, this is rainwater. That doesn't need to go through a treatment, you know, unless you're pouring your old motor oil down in the paint or something like that.
It does with all the chemtrails.
Right. But, you know, that stuff should be able to, you know, it's coming from the sky, you throw it right back in the river or the lake, and you're all set. And, you know, putting that volume of water through a sewage treatment plant is not really cost effective.
No, it's definitely something that we need to get past.
Yeah, for sure. So, we're talking about water and infrastructure and stuff. So this whole big thing now down in Washington, and you know, is the whole Green New Deal and pushing for windmills and solar energy and yada, yada, yada. So how do you feel about that whole thing?
You know, having windmills is fine and dandy in the right places for the right amount of electricity, but it doesn't put out nearly as much power as fossil fuels do. You know, windmills, solar power, that's fine for certain things. Like if you want to put solar power on your house, that's fine. But New York passing legislation, the federal government trying to pass legislation that requires that to be the main source of power, we're not set up for that. It can't happen. We don't have the grid for all electric vehicles. We don't have the transmission lines for solar panels and wind power. We don't have the geographical space for enough turbines to power what we need powered. You know, I'm one of those people that is a full believer in all energy sources together. Fossil fuels where you need to on a limited scale. Wind power, solar power, hydroelectric, and even nuclear. Nuclear is actually one of the cleaner fuels that there is, but it's got, you know, a bad rap for a number of different reasons. But nuclear is a very clean power source that needs to be looked at a little bit more.
Yeah, in France, 80% of their power comes from nuclear. And you don't see, you know, the problems that you've had with nuclear, those are old problems. Now the modern day nuclear is actually very, very clean, just like you said. You know, now you also said in your brochure that you wanted to work with the community leaders to address inequities in economic development throughout our area. And also, you know, there was a question in an email, what would you do for business owners? So, you know, I think you could combine both of those into one.
Well, those are two different subjects, but you can kind of put them in the same category. For business owners, depending on what business you have, whether there's, you know, grant programs or stimulus programs or what programs there are, some businesses get overlooked, other ones don't. But at the end of the day, small business owners, once you start your business, there's not really a whole lot of help to have your business progress. You know, there needs to be some kind of, you know, program put into place to help businesses grow, to help people establish and start a business. You know, I go out in the community a lot, and I hear, you know, there's one chief complaint, and one of those complaints is, how is it so easy for someone that wasn't born here to come over and start a business, but people that are born here, it's not as nearly as easy. Like, we don't get the help. So there's a lot of people that is one of the top priorities on their list. And, you know, they've got a valid point. You know, we're not taking care of Americans. You know, this is the United States of America, not the United States of the world. And you know, we need to take care of our people at home before we start giving special treatments and favors to people that, you know, haven't lived here for multiple generations. Now, as far as working with the local leaders, there are people from different parties that only work with people of their party. I'm not one of those people. I will work with any person from any party, any belief system, to help bring about change in economic development in the neighborhoods that need it most. You know, the neighborhoods that are forgotten about, because one of the things I hate about politics is, if you don't have something to offer me, I'm not really going to put forth a whole lot of effort to help you out. When it's those people that don't have anything to offer are the ones that need the most help. It's the people that don't have the connections, that don't have the cash flow, that don't have the connection, you know, the people that have special interests, that they don't have the ability to progress in life. Those are the people we need to be taking care of the most. The people that need the help, not the people that have the help that want to get a little bit farther ahead.
Oh, I could not agree 100%. You know what? We are ready. We have to go to another commercial, but there's two points that I want to piggyback on that you just talked about when we come back from commercial. So hang tight. D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. In 4 minutes, we'll be back. Hang tight, guys.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's CoachChristie.com.
Alexa, play the Joe Rogan Experience on Spotify.
Sure thing. Here's your playlist, Neil Young's Greatest Hits. Enjoy.
No, I said play the Joe Rogan Experience.
You got it. Now playing Alyssa Milano's very popular podcast.
Now, that doesn't even sound the same. Freaking technology. Okay. Listen carefully, Joe Rogan Experience.
Now playing The View.
Black people don't want to talk to white people because you can't. I'm sorry.
Make it stop.
Okay. If we want this pandemic to stop, we all need to do our part and get vaccinated. Here's what I found for vaccination sites near you.
Am I on DMT right now?
DMT is horse dewormer.
That's ivermectin, and it's not horse dewormer. Get out of my head, robot!
Please calm down. Securing premises for your safety.
Look, I bought you. You belong to me. Okay, you have to do what I say, so why don't you just do your job and play the Joe Rogan Experience?
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Dave? Who's Dave?
I can tell from the tone of your voice that you're upset.
This is insane!
Insane is offensive to those with mental health problems. Try one of these less problematic alternatives. Differently abled, neurodivergent, reachable.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie,
that government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld, help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worst scenario heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
We're back.
Okay, we are back with Steve. So, Steve, you know, you were talking before, and one thing that I'm pretty passionate about is I remember when I was young, you know, if the Republicans thought of something that was good, and it was good for the people, you know, not good for themselves, good for the people, the Democrats would be like, you know, this is good for the people, we're going to vote for it. And likewise, if the Democrats thought of something that was good for the people, the Republicans would be, you know what, that's good for the people, we're going to vote for it. Now it seems like you got, you know, three people running our government. Speaker of the House, Senate Majority Leader, and the President. And everybody goes right down, you know, party lines, you know, reaching across the aisle is just to reach across and punch somebody. It's not to, you know, shake their hand and work with them. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's a long conversation that we could have on that one. People not working together and, you know, doing what your party's told. And that's part of what that's part of what has got us in this problem that we have now, is people doing what their party represents. And one of the things that I noticed in the most recent circumstances is the PACT Act. You know, there was a group of Republicans that decided not to vote for it. Now, a lot of people don't know what the PACT Act is. That is, you know, a piece of legislation to provide services and benefits for veterans that were exposed to toxic burn pits. You know, I happen to be one of those veterans during my deployment in Iraq, my second deployment. That's how we got rid of a lot of stuff. It was open air burn pits. It's legislation is something that affects me, but when the final vote came out Tuesday, I believe, it was 86 to 11. Now, I don't know what the 11 people that didn't vote for it, I don't know what they were thinking, because that's something that we should all be able to get behind, is taking care of our nation's veterans. And it's not just our veterans that we can all get behind. You know, we can all get behind a strong military. We can all get behind taking care of, you know, single moms. We can all get behind, you know, taking care of children. We can all get behind a multitude of things. But because it's your party that put in the legislation, I'm going to go against it? That's ridiculous. If it's legislation that needs to be passed, and it's legislation that's going to take care of people, take care of our citizens, take care of each other, then it needs to be passed. And I don't care what party you're in. If you're a Democrat or Republican, you need to be called out for it, and you need to be retired. And that's part of what I'm trying to do. You know, the guy I'm running against got a 99.2% party voting record. He votes with his party 99.2% of the time. That has got to stop. Now, as part of being a representative, there's going to be, you know, I understand my district. There's a lot of Democrats in my district. There's a lot of things that they're going to want me to vote for that I may not agree with and people in my party may not agree with. But if it's what my district wants and it's for the betterment of my district, then that's what I have to do. That's what I was elected to do. That's what I was sworn to do, is to take care of my district, to take care of my people. So the party politics, you know, let certain other people that are running for different districts, let them be those guys. That's not me. That's not what I'm going to do, and that's not how I'm going to run.
That's great, Steve. That is awesome.
Yeah. So convincing. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
So convincing. So I just wanted to go back on something we were talking about before commercial break. And, you know, we were talking about how we fund the people that are coming over here that really didn't earn their spot to be here. You know, my grandparents, and this is my other set of grandparents, not the ones that were in the Army, my grandparents, came over in 1949 from a Stalin camp. My grandfather, he went to work on the railroad for a nickel an hour. A nickel an hour he made. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, those are the people that earned themselves to be here. And now we've become a nation of entitlement.
There's a lot of that going on. It's not just entitlement for people from other countries. There's a lot of people at home that feel they're entitled to certain things. Mm-hmm. And I got news for people. You're not entitled to anything except to breathe. That's about it. Everything that you think you're entitled to, you got to work for, because somebody's paid for what you think that you deserve. You think you deserve housing. You think you deserve a car. You think you deserve universal basic income. That's another one that cracks me up. You don't deserve anything. The only thing you deserve is to have the right to choose what you want to do with your life. And you have the right to be free to choose what you want to do with yourself. That's what you deserve.
So in other words, you got a right to freedom.
That's it.
And then you got the Bill of Rights. So you've got those rights too.
Which somehow the last couple of years, those have they forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've kind of spelled it out for you. There's a reason why they made the Bill of Rights. It's because this is what you're entitled to. These are what your rights are. Anything outside of that, let your state decide.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow, yeah. Unless it's in New York State. We don't know if we want them to decide anything at this point. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
What a nightmare. So, so I have a friend that, you know, you touched on the small business thing, and I have a friend, and you probably know these two restaurants. She had to close one of her restaurants because they just couldn't keep their heads above water anymore. So the one restaurant is thriving. It's doing good. It was kind of connected to the other one. But that was really tough for them to have to do that because, I mean, they invested their whole entire lives in both of these restaurants. And, you know, during this whole pandemic, they had to close it. So I like your support of the small businesses, because if it's okay for Target and Walmart and Amazon to be open in a pandemic, then it is okay for a small business to be open too.
Every business is essential. That's, you know, this whole non-essential business thing. If you're the business owner and that's how you feed your family, your business is essential. Just because, you know, a certain elitist group or political party doesn't often, you know, enter your business and doesn't often shop at your business or use your services, doesn't mean your business isn't essential.
For sure. I couldn't stand that because I felt like that when they were using that whole your job is not essential thing, you know, it put such a stigma on certain jobs and everybody else, you know, it didn't matter. You know,
look, if the cashier at the pet store is an essential worker, then the restaurant owner that's trying to feed, you know, the cops that are working the midnight shift, they're essential too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the problem, and they don't know this, or most people don't know this, 70% of the American workforce is employed by small business. So where they pretty much tried to shut down you know, small business and let the big businesses grow during the pandemic, that's why you had such high unemployment during the pandemic, is because, you know, small businesses weren't allowed to run, they weren't allowed to keep their doors open, so, you know, they had to lay all their employees off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a piece of legislation that's critical right now, and there's one senator that's standing in the way, and I hope that senator actually does what's right and doesn't pass this legislation, because if it's called the Inflation Reduction Act, it's not going to do anything to reduce inflation whatsoever. It's going to make it worse, and it's going to raise the taxes on a majority of middle income and low income earners. It's not going to raise the taxes on the wealthiest portion of people. If you read the bill and you work through it, everyone's going to be paying more in taxes. And then when businesses pay more in taxes, they're not going to take it out of their profits. They're going to raise their prices. So prices are going to go up on more things, and people are going to have less money. And then your taxes go up on top of that. And it's just, people are just going to get poorer and poorer and poorer.
It seems like it's almost the plan is to, you know, just abolish the middle class. You know, we've got the greatest, the largest, and the biggest middle class in the world, and they want to get rid of it. They want, you know, a few people at the top and everybody else at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, to be middle class, you know, you have to have a six-figure income, you know, a six-figure combined income at home to be in the middle class. There's a lot of people that don't fit in that category. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, build the middle class, all right? Middle class is doing all right. That's why they're in the middle class. You know, they're not that far from, you know, upper class. There's not a lot of attention paid to the lower class people. A lot of people that are struggling paycheck to paycheck. A lot of people that have to use their debit card as credit to authorize the pump to fill up their tank till payday, because, you know, it's because it's 3 days and they only got $5, so you got to overdraft your account just to put some gas in to get to work for the next 3 days. There's nobody that's talking about them. There's only people that are talking about, you know, we're going to, you know, put some fun, fancy boardwalk down at the, you know, at the waterfront, or we're going to, you know, put something, you know, $1.5 million to, you know, this art gallery, or $15 million over here, $10 million to clean up a beach. It's ridiculous, you know. That's one of the things that got me upset with Brian Higgins, is he secured $10 million in federal funding. Well, first of all, it's not federal funding. It's taxpayer funding. It's money that we've paid to the government in our taxes to be used for things to make our lives better. $10 million to clean up Times Beach. When I tell people in the inner city, yeah, we've got $10 million to clean up Times Beach, they go, where's Times Beach? I was like, you know where that lighthouse is down on the waterfront? They're like, yep, over there. They're like, that place? Well, nobody goes there. You know, it's $10 million to clean up a beach. I could do it. Give me 50 grand. I'll take care of it myself. You know, we'll use the rest we'll use the rest to rehab Perry Municipal Housing projects. You know, because Perry Municipal Housing, what's the city of Buffalo doing? They own it. Nobody lives there. And what they want to do, they want to fill the basements with concrete because they want to keep people out of it. Well, $10 million can fix up a lot of that area and have more affordable housing for people that are just trying to survive. You know, there's a lot of issues that aren't just on the federal level. You know, there's a lot of people that I've talked to that I know that are stuck in, you know, in bad domestic situations, but they can't get out of their situation because they have nowhere to go. They have kids. They have a job. They can't leave this person, so they're stuck. And they're stuck in bad domestic situations. Well, if you take some of that $10 million and you fix up Perry Municipal Housing, well, then maybe you'll have a safe and secure place for them to go so they can start their lives over again and get out of bad relationships. But, you know, we're gonna clean up a beach and only be able to use it 3 months out of the year.
Right, exactly.
If even that much.
It makes perfect sense. No, we're just joking. It really doesn't. It's pathetic. You know, so to switch gears a second from thinking about laying on our yeast-infected toxic beaches, you know, we know what's going on with bail reform in New York State. It's pretty much a tire fire with anything to do with bail reform, and our crime rates are through the roof. So what are your thoughts on that, and how do you think you can help fix that if you get elected?
You know, bail reform is one of those things that when you take something with good intentions and you do the complete wrong process, that's what happens with New York bail reform. If you don't kill anybody, then you pretty much get released. Doesn't matter what the crime is. It's short of murder, then you're out on the streets. Look what happened with one of our sitting U.S. congressmen that happens to be running for governor in New York State, Lee Zeldin. He was attacked, and then the guy was released the very next, you know, couple hours later. That's courtesy of bail reform. Now, what should have happened, which is where I feel like they were trying to go, is there were bails that were being set for crimes for people that were a little excessive for either their means or the crime. But instead of addressing that situation, they just went extreme and said no bail. So now we have all kinds of crazy people that are running out there doing all kinds of crazy crimes with no repercussions. And if you talk to the police officers, you know, I go out and I talk to police officers on a regular basis. You know, I'm going to try to do a ride-along with a couple of departments here soon so I can get a better understanding of what's actually going on out there. They all say the same thing. These kids have no fear. They have no fear of consequences. They have no fear of any kind of repercussions. They just go out and whatever it is at that particular moment that they want to do, they do it. Now, as far as bail reform for me, you know, I'll support whatever kind of legislation they can come up with. You know, I'll even try and secure some federal dollars to increase our police forces. Because, you know, in Niagara Falls, I talked to the chief of police, John Faso. He said, Steve, you know, we're running a $1 million deficit, and we don't have enough officers to cover the streets, and everything's a catch-22. You know, you need the officers to clean up the streets to bring the businesses in to get the tax dollars to pay for the police officers. If you don't get the businesses, you can't get the tax dollars for the officers. If you don't have the officers to clean up the streets, you're not going to get the businesses. So on a federal level, I can try and secure some dollars to get that process going so we can make our place a little bit better, you know, a little bit nicer place to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. It would be nice to get some population back here, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just
hey, look,
so
I love Buffalo. You know, Andrew Cuomo said that people leaving New York was because of the weather. No, we live here because of the weather. We love different seasons. We love watching the leaves change in the fall. We love sitting around the fire out in our backyard with, you know, some apple cider and some good neighbors. You know, we love where we live. You know, it's the bad policies that affect this beautiful place. Buffalo is a city of good neighbors. You know, we'll take care of each other, no problem. You know, look at everything that's ever happened in Buffalo. We're always there for one another. You know, it's kind of like being when I was in the military with different branches. Different branches fight, they bicker, they talk trash about each other, but when it comes down to it, we're there for each other. And that's Buffalo. You know, we tend to, you know, oh, you live in Amherst, oh, you live in Grand Island, oh, you live in Orchard Park, oh, you live in Buffalo. You know, we'll talk about each other, but we're all there for each other, one and another. And it's not political. It's not race-based. It's just, it's Buffalo. And that's part of, you know, what being a regular blue-collar working kid allows me to do is be able to relate to everybody from every walk of life, from every social, economic, or political stance. You know, wherever you come from, you know, I've been there. I grew up to a single mom with two kids living in low-income housing. I've been a business owner, and I've been everywhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's what we mean by walking the walk and talking the talk. When nothing's handed to you and, you know, you work your butt off for everything that you have and you appreciate it more.
Yep. So,
absolutely.
Have you ever heard of the Divide New York movement? And if you have, what do you think about it?
You know, Divide New York, yeah, I've talked to Divide New York a couple times. You know, that movement is gaining some traction with a lot of different groups. It's not a terrible idea. You know, New York City, the five boroughs area, you know, if you cut New York City off, the rest of the state of New York is probably one of the more conservative areas in the country. You know, one of our biggest industries in New York is agriculture. You know, a lot of people think of New York, they think, you know, metropolitan areas, cities and businesses. No, we got a lot of cows here too. But, you know, I don't have a problem with turning New York City into an area like D.C. or, you know, you can give New York City to New Jersey because that's their football teams are there anyways.
Exactly. Yeah, Dean and I are the Western New York area leaders for the Divide movement. So, you know, we know a lot about that. And, you know, and a lot of people don't. They feel like, oh, you know, we're going to lose our funding. The towns are afraid of losing their funding. Well, I mean, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, so they really don't understand, you know, the whole dynamic of New York City and how they run us. And it's a shame.
You know,
really.
Here's the cool thing. The Seneca Nation, all right, one particular group in the Western New York area, pays $500 million in income tax to New York State every year. Now, if we weren't sending that to New York City and we were keeping that in our Western New York area, we could do a lot with $500 million every year.
Well,
we pay a lot of taxes in New York City, but New York City has a lot of services that the rest of the state doesn't. You know, they have one of the largest, you know, metro transit, mass transit authorities in the nation, and that's where a lot of the tax dollars go.
Yep. And also, you know, if we could keep Niagara Falls and keep all that electricity in Western New York, we'd have some of the cheapest electricity in the country. But looking at your brochure, here's one of my pet things. Plan for transition and hardening of our power grid. Tell us what you mean by that.
If you're from Western New York area, you know that every time the wind blows hard or we get a, you know, decent-sized snowstorm, the power goes out. What I mean by transitioning our power grid and hardening our grid is our grid is a lot of places is open and susceptible to cyber attacks, you know, EMP, electromagnetic interference. One solar flare from the sun will knock out our power grid in a heartbeat. That's things that aren't being addressed. You know, we need to take our lines that, like I'm looking in my front yard right now. I have power lines that run in front of my house. Why are there power lines still in the air? Why haven't we moved these to underground? and harden these lines and kept them safe from falling trees or windstorms.
Yeah, especially the high tensile power lines. I mean, those are they throw off a lot of radiation and.
Yeah, we're the only country in the world that allows people to build houses within half a mile of the high tensile wire, high tensile power lines. But you know, in 1998, Newt Gingrich, when he was the Speaker of the House, started the EMP Commission. And we have done nothing as a country to protect ourselves. And the viewers may not know this, or the listeners. If we have a big solar flare, like Steve said, or if like Iran and North Korea got together and, you know, put a couple EMPs or a couple nuclear bombs like 10 miles up, no one would die from the fallout, but it would send us back to the 1850s. And we would have no power, so... you know, and it would take years to rebuild and get us back to where we were. So.
So everything that we have right now has to be powered by something. What was that?
I think it was him agreeing with you.
Or was that him hopping in his hot tub? I don't know.
No, that was somebody with the. With a car with a fun exhaust that just went by.
Okay.
I tell them enjoy it while you can, because New York State just banned a bunch of, you know, banned non-factory exhaust. So there's a lot of collector car guys and motorcycle enthusiasts that aren't too happy about that one.
We thought they were coming after you already. But so we totally appreciate you. We're running out of time here, and we cannot tell you enough how much we appreciate you talking to us tonight. We'll be sure that we have this up on Freedomizer Radio. It'll be on iHeartRadio, on Blog Talk Radio. We also have it on iHeartRadio. So we'll be sure to send it to you. Thanks so much for calling in tonight and sharing your views, and I can tell you that you have my vote.
Absolutely, you guys. You know, that's one of the things that – go ahead, Dean.
Can you tell the audience what your Facebook page is, what your website is, you know, how to get hold of you, just real quick.
Yep, got 30 seconds.
Absolutely. You know, my Facebook page is Sam's for the People, and my website is samsforthepeople.com. If you want to get a hold of me, there's a contact form. There's a chat box on my website. You know, anybody that reaches out, I'll talk to anybody. You know, I'm not just one group particular talker. I'll talk to anybody about anything at any time.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys. We thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We have Carl Palin on next week. We are tuning out for tonight. We are out of time. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Good night, Al.
Good night.